for this also.
Show unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary. Pray for us, O Mother of God, and the Lord of the Amen. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
The purpose of our life is to really get to know God, love God, serve God, so that we can be with God forever in heaven. So what we have to recognize is what is the major obstacle in getting to know and love God. So I was able to write a short worksheet on modern idols. The time of Moses, you probably remember if you ever read the Bible, you saw a movie on the Ten Commandments. When Moses was up on the top of the mountain, when he came down after 40 days, they had actually had a golden calf. Remember that? And he got really angry, and he actually destroyed that golden calf. He pulverized it, threw it in a nearby river, and then he made the people drink that water. He probably had a serious case of diarrhea after that, I'd imagine, huh? What do you think? I think so, no? So that was an idol, you know, many years ago, more than 3,000 years ago. But there are still many idols today that are maybe a little bit different. Because you cannot love any person, place, or thing above God. If you do, that's the nature of being an idol, to place any person, place, or thing above God. And I'd have to say this, that all of us want to experience joy and happiness in this world. I think any of you get up one day during the week and say, today I want to be sad these 24 hours. I doubt that. You probably have to see a psychologist, I think, no? I think any of us want to have a sad day. We want to be joyful, always. So that's the case if we're really seeking to be joyful. Why is it then that there are so many people that are sad? We never had so many teenagers that have committed suicide, you know, in the past few years, suffering a lot of depression. So the reason why so many people are sad is because they're looking for happiness in the wrong place. They're looking for happiness in the wrong place. So happiness, true happiness, can only be found in God. Right? It can only be found in God. So we're going to read through my short worksheet here. Is there an extra one for me here? And then we'll fill it in. Okay, we'll have a worksheet. You have your thinking caps on? Huh? Don't have one? There you go. So the title would be, Have No False Gods and Modern Idols. Okay, so turn the sheet around. Idol. How would you define idol and idolatry? Think about that. The following might be a pretty simple definition. Idolatry is whenever you place any person, place, thing, object, or idea above God. That's the nature of an idol. Person, place, thing, above God. That's an idol. You think in your life you probably have done that. Maybe even do it now. When I was your age, we've been the rock and roll stars like the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. I guess I'm betraying my age, no? Any of you ever hear the Beatles? So that's probably way beyond your culture. You've heard of the Beatles, no? You ever see the movie Beatlemania? They came to New York, and the people went crazy to see, you know, Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr and John Lennon and George Harrison. And they went crazy. And especially the young girls, they fell in love with these guys from Liverpool, England, with the long hair and the rock and roll tunes, no? And that was called Beatlemania. So they fell in love with the Beatles, no? And that's a type of idolatry, you know, loving rock and roll stars above God, no? So you might even think, what might be your possible idol? It could be. Could even be your phone. You got your phone? Could be. It's almost like a third hand. There you have your hand. You're always attached to that phone. Can't live without it, huh? Okay, so in the time of Moses, the idol that this great man had to destroy was a golden calf. So coming down from the mountain with the two tablets of the law, Moses discovered the people bowing down to the golden calf that Aaron, his brother, had molded and made for them. Infuriated, Moses took the two tablets of the law and smashed them to the ground. He threw the remains in the nearby water and made them drink that pulverized water. Most likely, imagine if I were to go to your house after confirmation. Try to imagine this. Most likely, if I were to visit your home this evening to bless your home and family, most likely I would not find a golden calf in your living room. I doubt that I would see two candles lighted, the golden calf in the middle of those two candles or flames, and one of the family members offering incense, paying homage to the golden calf. You have the incense we use in the Mass, no? Right, Nick? And there you have one of your family members kneeling down and offering up incense to the golden calf in your home. I hope that that's not the case, no? I doubt it, no? I doubt that's going to happen. But there are other types of idols. We'll see. We're going to see what are the modern types of idols that we might have in our hearts. So it might be such that there are other modern, more sophisticated idols that have found their place in our homes, our families, our children, our teens, and even in the very depths of our own hearts. Therefore, let us make a serious reflection, an honest examination of conscience of our own lives, and come to a keen awareness of what are some of the idols that are competing and winning our attention, time, and loyalty. Jesus stated with great clarity that the greatest of all the commandments is to love God with all of our hearts, minds, souls, and strength. Then the second is to love our neighbors, ourselves. Our God is indeed a jealous God, and under no circumstance does He want to take second place or third place to any person, place, thing, circumstance, or even some idea. Many of these idols are actually false philosophical concepts that often dominate our manner of thinking, acting, and our very way of being. Okay, so turn the page, and I'm going to try to give you a whole series of modern idols. A whole series of modern idols. And given this is a very intelligent class, right, I'm going to be giving you basically false philosophies, because what we do with our actions depend upon what we think in our minds. You ever think about that? What we do before we do it, there's a thought upstairs, right? You got a thought upstairs, and then what? You act upon it. That turns into an action. And if you repeat the same actions, that's called a habit. A bad habit is called a vice. A good habit is called a virtue. Then that forms our personality and then our destiny. Think about that. Repeat that idea, huh? So you got the thought. The thought goes down into your heart. And you make a decision, and that's translated into an action. And the repetition of the action forms a habit. And a bad habit is a vice, and a good habit is a virtue, and that forms your personality, who you are. And then your ultimate destiny. Where are you going to go? Very Ignatian, right, Rosa? Yeah. I think they can understand most of what I'm saying. So we've got wrong thoughts. We're going to have bad actions too. That's why we come to confirmation, to try to fill our minds with good thoughts. Thoughts related to the Bible, the Word of God. Amen? Okay. So I'm going to give you the wrong philosophy and explain what it is and see how often we act upon it. Ready? Materialism. You know how to write that? Materialism. Materialism. What the heck is that? Materialism. Okay, materialism is this. Is I place, write it down, I place material things above God. I place material things above God. Okay, after each, I'm going to try to give you an example. Now, be honest with me. Be honest. See, in about 10 weeks, we're going to be celebrating Christmas. Right? The 10th of October is about 10 weeks. We're going to be celebrating Christmas. Now, don't lie. When Christmas approaches, what are you thinking about? Don't lie. Oh, I'm thinking about the incarnation of the Word of God that descends from heaven into the arms of Mary. And I'm thinking about how Jesus Christ, the Savior, came to save us from the bonds of Satan and sin. Come on, you're not thinking about that. Don't lie. You're thinking about, what am I going to get? Right? You can be honest. I gave you a very theological explanation of what we should be thinking about. But this is the last thing you're thinking about. What am I going to get? Hopefully, that fat guy in red pajamas with a white beard is going to come down the chimney. Ho, 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 ho! And he's going to give me exactly what I want. Huh? They're thinking more or less about that. Okay? Yeah, I like this. I like to start a fire and shoot that guy up to the moon. A nice hot fire. Shoot him on a rocket up to Mars or maybe Venus, no? So, I just want you to write down Christmas for me. And be honest. We're going to get close to Christmas. I'm going to try to explode that myth. I'm going to try. What am I going to get for Christmas? What's in it for me? A new phone. A new bike. Hopefully, my rich grandmother is going to come from Guadalajara and give me $500, no? Maybe not from Guadalajara, from Beverly Hills, right? Face it, in our society, we think more about material things than about spiritual things. And the irony of it is this. Think about this, Nick. Jesus was born in total poverty, wasn't he? Think about how Jesus was born. Total poverty. You know he's born? In a refuge for animals. It stunk high heaven where he was born. You ever smell a cow? You ever pet a cow or smell a cow? Well, yeah, because you're city people, so am I. But a cow doesn't smell like Chanel No. 5, huh? The perfume? Not a chance, huh? And you live on a farm, and you're a farmer, you stink. You better take a bath before you go to your quinceañera, right? You better. So Jesus, the creator of the world, was born in a stinky barn for animals. And he was even rejected before he was born. And more than once. there's no room for him in the end. They often think about that. It's ironic, you know. We want so much, and Jesus was born in a place where there are animals. No central heating either. No, no glittering lights. No, no sweet music in the background. I mean, we hear Christmas songs. That's the way we paint it in a romantic way. But there was no Christmas songs in the background. He was born in poverty and coldness. Okay. Okay, then, so just think about that. That can be an idol. You know, we place these material things above God. Okay. I'm going to cut close to the bone with a lot of the girls now. Ready? Buckle your seatbelt now. Are you ready? Más o menos? What about this idea of the quinceañera? Can I give you my view? Give me permission? Okay, can I? Getting your mother, your grandfather, your aunt and uncle to save up all that money. 5, 10, 20, 25,000 bucks. That's a pretty penny, mi amigo. It's a lot. And throw that away in one day, I got problems with that. And I come from a much more affluent family than you come from. I do. I got problems with that. Can you tell me? You do that $20,000, get in your car, drive south, go over San Diego, go into Tijuana, and you see little kids dying of hunger. Hey, amigo. I've got problems with that. It's not a metaphor. There are brothers and sisters in Tijuana dying of hunger, and they were going to throw that away, $20,000, $25 in 10 hours. I got problems with that. Didn't Jesus say, love one another? It'd be better, maybe not to do that, so as to have solidarity with our poor brothers and sisters. Most of your people are Mexicans, right? Second generation. There are brothers and sisters. Okay, this is what I would do. This is what I do. So a lot of you girls, you're 13, 14, you're getting close to that age. But I would really like them to have a quinceañera, but according to my style. Okay? This way. Okay, you're 14 and you're going to be 15 within about 14 months. Go to the office there and already get a mass for you. Maybe two masses. Get a mass. Okay, say for example, okay, 2023, February 15th, you're going to hit the big 15, okay? You come to the 6 o'clock mass and I'm celebrating the mass for you. That mass I'm celebrating for you is worth more than $1 billion. Right, Senora Rosa? I'm not exaggerating. Worth more than $1 billion. The mass. So you go to the mass. I pray the mass for you. Come up, maybe place some flowers before Our Lady Guadalupe. Then, go to town. Go to Pollo Loco. Pollo Loco. Yeah, Pollo Loco. Pollo Loco. Yeah. I went to Pollo Loco the other day with two friends, and we were able to pay $15, and the three of us saved, no, $17. I'm sorry, Rosa. How about that? Three of us ate for $17. We could even get a refill of Coca-Cola. See? So you go to Mass. Afterwards, say the rosary. Place the flowers before the Blessed Mother. You know, bring 10 of your friends in. They can go to Mass also. Receive communion for you. A nice rosary afterward. You go to maybe a little bit more. Okay, maybe go to Olive Garden, okay? Like Italian food, huh? And then, you know, maybe after that, go with five of your friends, go bowling. You ever go bowling? Invite me, I'll kill you. I lettered in baseball and bowling when I was in high school. I'm a good bowler. Best game was 250. Pretty good, huh? Nick was saying, take me to the Angels game, huh? When they're playing the Yankees, huh? Well, you see, you could celebrate your quinceañera with that and the restaurant and going bowling. $350. Hello? $350. Instead of throwing $20,000. And one last idea. When I was your age, my father wouldn't give me a wooden nickel. Father wouldn't give me anything. Nick, I started work when I was 8 years old, shoveling snow. You guys know what snow is? You ever see snow in like a photo or something? Shoveling snow. Little kid, 8 to 9, and the blisters, my mom, and say, poker sheet, no, your boy, bite the bullet, get up, get a bandaid, I'll give you a St. Joseph's aspirin, go to bed. And cutting grass in the summer, 95 degrees, 95 humidity, sweating like a pig, I had to make the money though. So, my dad wouldn't give me anything. But for college, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars. Oh, yeah. Why? Because in our family, three ideas. God, family, education. That's the Broom family. Our family, God first, family, and then education. Having a good, solid education. So the $20,000 that you paid in the quinceañera, you could pay that to go to college at Cal State Long Beach. It's paid for. Okay, you've never heard anyone give you this interpretation, and you never will except Padre Escobita. Hmm? But I think it's good for them to hear another interpretation. All your friends are saying, no, this money, the chambalan and the limousine, all that. Baloney. So the two of the idols would be materialism, and then another would be, okay, write down next to it, consumerism. Materialism and consumerism. 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 You know what Black Friday is? It's Black Friday. After Turkey Day, huh? Turkey Day? El Dia del Pavo. Dicen sus papás, no? El Dia del Pavo, no? Turkey Day, huh? So what does everyone do on Black Friday? So right down next to consumerism, shop until you drop. Ever hear that one? It's a good one-liner, isn't it? Shop until you drop. Shop until you drop. Remember, it was Black Friday, and it was actually Thanksgiving. And they went with Father Craig and Father Dave to go bowling. They were in Carson. In the Carson chair, there's a bowling alley. We went bowling, and I won that day. Okay, I won. Don't tell the priest that I said that, okay? It's not humble, is it, Rose? But afterward, next year there's this this store called Kohl's. K-O-H-L-S. Kohl's, I think it's a... it's a store. There was a line of people waiting. 5 o'clock, they're going to be waiting 12 hours to get into that store. You believe it? 12 hours! I told Father Dave and Father Craig, I got an idea. Go back to the house, let's get a stall, and we can confess these people. Amen. Good idea? What do you think, Nick? Get a stall there, put it on, say, hey, free of charge! Father Craig, Father Dave, Padre Escobedo, come on, free of charge, let's go to confession now. Maybe I'll try to do that. No? Maybe it'll work, huh? Didn't do it, but it might be a good idea. We got to be creative, right? So, consumerism. If you have a lot, then you're going to be buying a lot, huh? You have a lot, you're going to be buying a lot. Okay, you have a good philosophical mind. Eric Fromm says, if you are what you have and you lose what you have, who are you? Let me go through that, baby, huh? Good one, huh? I'll repeat. If you are what you have and you lose what you have, who are you? Got it in the way? Good one, right? And that's Eric Fromm, which is a modern psychologist. If you are what you have and you lose what you have, who are you? So, the importance depends upon what you have. I'm going to give them another one. I'm going to teach you a big college word, okay? Ready? Like vocabulary? I love it. I love language. No? You ready? Are you? Utilitarianism. Uh-oh. Say that 5 times fast, huh? Want me to write it? Did you write it down already? No? Not yet? It's a good one. I think, Rose, have you heard this one before? I've used it. Utilitarianism. Long word, isn't it? Utilitarianism. Okay, let's give a definition and see how this idea has invaded our modern way of thinking. This. Write it down now. Your value and your importance depends upon how much money you have and how many material things you have. Your value, your importance depends upon how much money you have and how much material things you have. So the more money you have, the more material things you have, the more important you are. Okay, let me draw now a logical conclusion to that. Okay, what would happen then with this in mind? A woman goes to a medical clinic. She does a pregnancy test and the result's positive. And it turns out that the baby has an extra chromosome. Any of you study biology here? Not yet. Do any of you know if someone has an extra chromosome? Do you know what that means? You haven't learned that yet?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Very intelligent. So you have an extra chromosome, and that child is going to have is going to be Down's child. Do you know how many babies that have the Down syndrome are never born in this country? You ready? 90%. I think it's Scandinavia, it's already obligatory that the woman have an abortion. It's Scandinavia, I think, and some of the countries in Europe, yeah. I think Scandinavia, and then it's going to probably be the domino effect. So in that country, if you're a pregnant woman, you got that baby there, you are obliged medically to have that abortion. We're heading in that direction in this country. Okay, use logic now. How is that related to this? You have to use your head now. I'm teaching you how to think. In philosophy, there's a discipline called logic. Logic using common sense. Yeah, they haven't learned how to think yet, huh? Is that Down's baby going to be a multimillionaire? Work on Wall Street? Be a CEO of Apple in Silicon Valley? What do you think? No, because a Down's child has limited intelligence. Okay? If it's really severe, it depends. Some are very severe, others are less severe. So given that he's not going to be able to make a lot of money and make a lot of things, better for him not even to be born. Have you, any of you ever met someone, a Down's child? You have. Here in the parish, there is a young woman, she's probably in her 40s now, I've known her for more than 20 years. And her name is Letty. And you've probably seen her. She used to sing at the 10 o'clock Mass in Spanish. No? And whoever she sees, she smiles and calls, Romano, Romana. Whether you're Mexican or Filipino or American, or she sees everyone in the parish as a brother and sister. No racism in her at all. She sees everyone as someone to be loved and to be cherished and to be appreciated. And she's got Downs. Maybe some of you have seen Rosa with Menu. Huh? Rosa Barragan with Menu. One of the persons I love most in the parish is that guy. And Nick, are you listening? He happens to be a Yankee fan. Did you know that? He got this Yankee hat on. Is that good or bad? Whether or not he's a Yankee fan or not, that's not that important. Right, Joseph? What's important is that this guy, like the girl, they're innocent. And I wonder today, do parents have more problems with normal teenagers or those who have Downs? The normal ones probably cause the parents more headaches than those who have the problem with Downs. I think so. And we lose our innocence very easily. Many of them, they never lose their innocence. And when they die, guess where they're going? Think when we get to heaven, with God's grace, we're going to be looking up and see a whole crowd of these Downs people way out there. Hey, say hello to Jesus up there. Say hello. Hey. I really believe that. They're going to be way out there. And we're maybe just at the entrance, huh? Because they're innocent. And we lose it so easily. So remember that. Utilitarianism is Your value depends upon how much money you make and how many possessions you have. Got that? Okay. Let's move on to another one. Okay. Write it down. I'm not saying this to scare the pants off you, but Satanism. You ever hear that word? Satanism? Satanism. How would you define Satanism? Satanism would be the cult of honoring, guess who? The devil. Cult of honoring the devil. There are satanic groups that are surfacing in this country. Or in San Bernardino, they're allowing satanic groups in San Bernardino. That's not too far away. So you can set up, after high school or junior high school, you can set up a satanic group, and the church, the school authorities approve that, but you cannot mention the name of God. True. So you mention God, you're going to be chastised or punished. But if you set up a group honoring Satan, club membership after school. All right. Well, I tell you, one of the ways in which the devil can work on us is by these places. They're all over the place, okay? Psychic reader. Psychic reader. Hey, you've been around the gardens. Most of you live in the gardens. Right next to McDonald's. You know what we have there? What do we have there? You ever see that? You live in the gardens, you see the big hand? Psychic reader? And it says $5 special. That's been here at least for 30 years, before you were born. So it's been here for 30 years, that means they got customers, huh? You can't open up a place like that paying rent without having people going in there. And if you've ever driven just through towns in the county of LA, almost every town has got one, sometimes two or three. Now, okay, let me tell you. Let me tell. Why does it say $5 special? Very sharp. $5. I mean, it's not that much. $5. You know, 100 years ago it was a lot. Now $5. You barely buy a hamburger for $5. Any of you know why? They're sharp. Why? What?
To hook you in.
Like, to hook you in.
To like...
Yeah.
Because it's a cult.
Okay, say it again.
To hook you in.
Okay, he hit the nail on the head. Is they can hook you in. It's like bait. Okay? Because if you go there once, okay, they got you in. Okay? And then... You go there, you had a good experience, you're going to be going next time, and the following day is going to be $10. Then it's going to be $20. Then $40. And there he is, he's looking into the crystal ball. I can see the love of your life. You've had romantic problems, problems with novios, Never had a novia boyfriend? Man, I can see Mr. Wonderful is right around the corner. It's going to be the greatest person that ever arrives in your life. It's going to be great. $20. And next time, I'll tell you who it's going to be. And there you are, you're in suspense. You go back, it's $40. And he starts to explain it. Before you know it, it's already up to $100. What you're saying is, it's to hook you in, and it's like bait. And they're playing on your emotions, especially when you're in desolation. Feel sad and desolation. That's the way the devil works, too. I mean, okay, you might do this. Ask your mom mom or dad if they've ever gone to one of these. Say, be honest. And they will say that they did, maybe when they were younger, when they really felt sad and depressed, they felt that they couldn't turn to anyone. You'd be surprised how many people go and consult those people. A lot. And what do they do? Okay, they're going to be doing several things. Looking into the crystal ball and looking into your future. Or reading your palm. You gotta read your palm. Palm reading. Or reading the tarot cards. Or numerology. They'll play with numbers too. But really common in the Mexican culture is called hacer una limpia. Know what that is? Hacer una limpia, you know what that is? They actually get eggs, and they break eggs, and they put the eggs all over, you know? And that's supposed to what? That's supposed to get rid of the bad spirits, you know? Then some incense, and they'll, you know, spray you with water. In other words, what they're really trying to do, they're trying to do an exorcism. You ever hear the word exorcism? Have you? You know who can do an exorcism? I can. If you have someone possessed by the devil, and I dress like all of you, that possessed people would know that I'm the priest, even though I wore clothes like you guys. The devil picks it up right away. Who's the priest? Right away. Am I a formal exorcist? At least not yet, but I could be. You know why? Because I have holy orders. If you're an ordained priest, you've got power. So to be an exorcist, what would I have to do? The bishop would have to say, Father Broome, I want you to be the exorcist of L.A. Okay? Yes, bishop. You have to go and have to do a 10-week course on how to practice exorcism in the way the devil works. Okay, bishop, I have to talk with my superior, my provincial. Then I would be an exorcist. Not that I'm looking for it, Rose, okay? But by holy art, I have the power. And every time we do a baptism, there's a minor exorcism. You ever been to a baptism? In a baptism, there's actually a minor exorcism every time we do a baptism. Minor exorcism. Now, you're going to think that this is a lot of play, a lot of fun. Hey, but don't play with a Ouija board. You ever hear that? Spanish is called La Ouija. It's actually come from Japanese. None of you ever heard of the Ouija board? No? Charlie, remember that? Remember Charlie? That was about 3 years ago. You take the couple of sticks and you put them together and you invoke. Okay, you know, not that the devil is going to jump into your skin, but you open up the door. You're opening up the door. You have to be careful. And I'm not going to be promoting rock and roll music. But look at this. I'm a fruit of the 60s, so can't deny my age, no? How about this? K-I-S-S. It was a rock and roll group when I was your age. Know what it stands for? Oh, besito. Oh, besito. Que dulce. Que romantico. Huh? No, what do you think? It's Knights in Satan's service. You know that? Yeah, knights in Satan's service. So it's a rock and roll group dedicated to the work of Satan. The longest rock and roll group together are the Rolling Stones. You ever hear them? With Mick Jagger. Still around after 50 years. No? One of the rock and roll songs of the Rolling Stones is Sympathy for the Devil. I'm not saying that you should be listening to this. Singing a song, Sympathy for the Devil. Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones, yeah. So I'm saying we're living in difficult times, but part of the problem is if we're ignorant, if we're ignorant of what I'm saying, you're in danger. Right? If we're ignorant of what I'm talking about, you're going to fall in a trap. When I was a kid, we used to dig traps for enemies, no? These traps. And we put like leaves over them and mud, and our enemies, they fall into those traps, okay? Enemy trap, yes or no? The devil, he's building these traps, and he wants us to fall in these traps. If you don't know where the trap is, you're going to fall in, you're going to break your leg. So I would say you got to be careful with the reality of Satanism and keep away from it. And one of the most important things for young people, and you're young, and we're a little bit older, is you got to be very careful with your friends. You all have friends? They say, you all have enemies, you all raise your hands. You all hopefully have a friend or two, no? How would you define friend? Good question. I know what you're going to say. A friend is someone that I share common interests. Aristotle says a common interest but in virtue. You have to specify that. If you say common interest, you know someone who has common interest, the Cholos, Pandilleros, right? Ever hear of a Cholo and the Chola? They have a common interest. What is it? Beat up the other gang members in Artesia or Bellflower, or maybe East LA, the Tuffies, huh? Or Compton. Oh boy. Yeah, their common interest is they group together to be able to beat up other gang members and graffiti and to shoot and to steal. So they're doing things together, but they're doing bad things together. And that's really not what a friend is. My definition of friend, Rosa, would be this. A true friend is going to help me to establish a deep friendship with Jesus Christ. Amen? You hear that? A true friend is going to be a person that helps me to get closer to Jesus Christ. El amigo que nunca falla. ¿Habla español? El amigo que nunca falla. The friend that will never fail us. That's a true friend. A true friend. Okay, let's go through. Let's write down another one. We got Satanism. Okay, write down this. Okay, the false idol of atheism. Did you ever hear the word atheism, any of you? Did you ever heard of atheism? What the heck is atheism? You say? Okay. I would say not anything because that would be nihilism, but rather atheism would be someone who denies the existence of God. So write that down. Atheist is a person who denies the existence of God. Denies the existence of God. Did you ever hear the guy? Tomas, the guy that said, I'm an atheist, thanks be to God. Yeah. No way, I'm an atheist, thanks be to God. Is there something wrong with that? Why? Yeah. Doesn't make sense, does it? No? Okay. I'm an atheist, thanks be to God. Okay, I'm going to suggest a really good movie for all of you to see. Maybe ask your mom and dad to go against this. Okay, so write this down, and hopefully you'll be able to maybe find it on YouTube or maybe get a DVD or however you like, and maybe see it with your parents and your older brothers and sisters, maybe even little ones. And maybe you've heard of it, but it's really good, and it goes against the whole idea of atheism. And it is called God is Not Dead. Have you heard of it? God is Not Dead. And I'd put next to it, in parentheses, one, two, three. No, I put one, two, three? Because there's actually three different movies. But if you were to get like a DVD, you can get all of them together. Tomas, did you see it? How was it? Pretty good. Anyone else? Did you see it? Okay. Number one. Anyone else? You saw it? Did you like it?
Yeah. I didn't watch it a long time ago, though.
Yeah, it came out maybe about 10 years ago, but it's still applicable. Number one is this. You have these young people in college, the first year. And they're in this hall with a lot of students, and it's a philosophy class. And the teacher very bluntly comes out and says, God is dead. Remember? God is dead. So all of them are, the students are just listening, they're agreeing with him because this is the guy that has the degree in philosophy. He's an intelligent guy, he's very eloquent, he's handsome, and he knows what he's saying. But one of them, his name was Josh, was a born-again Christian. Wasn't a Catholic, but a born-again Christian. And he raises his hand and says, I don't agree with you. You remember what happens, that he debates with the professor. And the first time, the professor crushes him. So then he asks if he can debate him again. And the second time, remember? The kid, he's about 18, 19. He's studying the Bible, the arguments, and writing notes and all this. Then he confronts the professor, and he actually beats the professor in the debate. And the professor breaks down. He said he used to be a believer, but I think like his father and mother died. But he recognizes that he's been wrong in denying God's existence. Remember the end, he's going over to the revival, he's hit by a car. But anyway, the movie shows the real danger in education, and I would say not simply in college education, but even in high school education, of denying the existence of God. So this is a modern idol. Those who are denying the existence of God. So, atheism. Why don't we run? Well, let's write down one more. We haven't gotten through all of them. I'll give you one more. This will be number six, right? Can you write down indifferentism? Rose, if you remember what that is, it's not what you think. It's not indifference. Okay, indifferentism says this. All religions are the same. All the religions are the same. Okay, write down next to that, Catholicism is the only true religion. And you happen to be Catholic. Catholicism is the only true religion, and you happen to be Catholic. What a privilege. Now, we're Catholics. We belong to the true religion. Last week, I think it talked a little bit about Protestantism, which is a man-made religion founded by Henry VIII, okay, Martin Luther, John Calvin, 500 years ago, that religion was founded by a man. Our religion was founded by Jesus Christ on the rock, and that is Peter. Amen? So I've gone through a few idols by false philosophical systems, right? So let's pray that we really get to know Jesus Christ better and better. Love him more. Follow him more. And try to bring other people to love Christ. Amen? So we're going to say Hail Mary, and then we'll see it in Mass on Sunday. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay.